hello everybody, welcome to the SA Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast. Once again, my name is KG Sarache. With me, as usual, my co-host Eugene. And in this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about AEW, particularly its women's championship picture. We're going to decide who we think fits into the picture, who we think doesn't, and who would be the biggest threat to the champion, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Also, we're going to look at the ongoing TBS Championship Tournament. We're going to go through some of the semi-final or the quarterfinal matches, rather, then the semi-final matches. And then ultimately, we're going to pick who we think should be the first ever TBS champion. And if that sounds good to you, stick around for the episode. So, Dr. Britt Baker, the AEW Women's Champion, successfully defending her title at Full Gear against Ty Conti. And before we get into anything else, what did you think of that match?
I really enjoyed the match.
Yeah, it was
it was a good match, especially from Ty Conti. Like, she did some stuff that impressed me.
Yeah, definitely. And I like how AEW are really selling the fact that she is gifted in all these different disciplines. She did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. She's the type, you know, I like the fact that they're selling her different mixed martial arts skills. And that really makes that, like, that really made her an incredible threat. Obviously, I think everyone pretty much figured out that she wasn't going to win. But to see what she could do in the ring on that big stage was really exciting.
Impressive, made me a fan of her.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, she's definitely one for the future. She's incredible. Just not now. Now is not her time. Now is still the doctor's time. I think she's been on an incredible role, and she's really been like the leader in terms of not just being champion. She's been like the leader in the women's division, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree with you. Ever since she won the title at Double or Nothing, I think she's gone up another level.
Yeah, like you think of that match she had with Thunder Rosa. Do you remember that match with Thunder Rosa last year? I think it was last year.
Was it where she broke her nose?
No. That was against Hikaru Shida last year. The Thunder Rosa match was the one with the thumbtacks and the ladders and the tables. It was incredible. Yeah. That's the match I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was a good match.
Very good match.
If anything, it showed how tough she is. If people had any doubts of her, like if they were unsure if she was capable of holding the AEW Women's Championship, that match just showed people that she's capable.
Definitely.
If that match didn't, then the match where she broke her nose definitely did.
Yeah, I mean, she's tough. She's really tough. Like, I've seen her defend that championship. I've seen her take some incredible bumps. She's really tough. And she's definitely been one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. I think she was number 4 in the PWI ranking. So she's really, really worked hard to get to where she is. And yeah, I enjoy watching her wrestle. But let's move on a little bit. Yeah, let's move on a little bit. Let's talk about who would be the next AEW Women's World Champion. At some point, the reign's got to end, right?
Yeah, but it's not going to end anytime soon.
You don't think so?
No, I think it's going to be like another year.
Maybe.
Or it's going to end at Double or Nothing.
Maybe. Let's look at it, though. Let's take a look at the championship picture and sort of, I've got a list of names here of some of the women in the AEW Women's Division who could potentially be a massive challenge. I mean, yeah, let's start with Nyla Rose. I feel like Nyla Rose is maybe a massive threat to anyone, really.
Yeah, I think so too, especially Vicky Guerrero in the corner.
Yeah, I mean, how long has Vicky been in the wrestling game?
Like, she's been here for time.
Bruh. She was part of my childhood. That's how long she's been in the wrestling game. And with
I hated her. She just screamed so much.
Yeah. But now with Nyla Rose, if they really like, if they show how dominant she is, if she's really gets on a roll, it wouldn't be a surprise to see her become champion again. I think she's a two-time champion, I think. No, she's not. She lost. She's the one that lost the title to Hikaru Shida, I think, at Double or Nothing, 2020. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if she held that title again. What do you think?
I wouldn't be surprised if she did. But again, I'm going to always go back to the fact that Dr. Bitbreaker only has had it for a few months, you know?
Yeah.
And the only way I see that Dr. Bitbreaker is losing that title at the moment is like only after a year. Like, I'm just imagining the match between Nyla Rose and Dr. Bitbreaker, right? It's going to be a good match.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's going to be a good match. But at the end of the day, Dr. Bitbreaker will come through. Not unharmed, though.
Yeah.
It's because she's going to be bruised. Like, it's Nyla Rose, yo.
Nyla Rose is dominant. Like, when she wants to be, she does have her off moments where it's like, you know, I don't really want to watch her right now. But when she gets going, she's dominant. Like I remember, do you remember Karma, Awesome Kong?
Yeah.
If I see parts of Awesome Kong in her. And if she can channel that energy where it's like, she's dominant and she's destructive and nobody can touch her. If AEW starts booking her right, she could be dominant.
I mean, she has held the title before, so there's no reason she can't do it again.
Exactly. And so
now she's just got an extra level with Vicky Guerrero in the corner, which I think is going to be huge for her because you know the benefits of having Vicky Guerrero on the outside.
Yeah. There's the benefit to a manager is great, like, and especially someone as experienced as Vicky. Yeah, exactly. The experience of Vicky Guerrero is so important, especially in that mentorship role. Let's look at Riho, the first ever AEW Women's World Champion.
The first?
Yeah, she was the first ever AEW Women's World Champion.
How long did she have the title for?
I don't remember. I think maybe a couple of months. She won it. I think she didn't win it at Double or Nothing. No. She won it a few, like maybe on the first or second episode of Dynamite. She won the title. She held it for a little bit. She lost it to Nyla Rose. What do you think of her? Like, do you see her as someone that's potentially back in the title picture?
Not necessarily. I don't think so because there are a lot, like if you look at the women's roster at the moment, you could, like, there's much more women that have the potential to win it than her at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. And you know the thing with her is, like, it's the size. And I know people in wrestling are going to be like, size is not as big as a deal as it was back then, but she's tiny. She is really, she's the smallest woman on the roster, if you think about it. She's tiny. And when I think about it logically, her beating Nyla Rose is not possible, physically possible.
Yeah. If she did, though, it would be like a Goliath versus David kind of match.
Yeah, I think she has beaten Nyla Rose a few times, which left me shocked. Like, I know she did lose the title to Nyla Rose, but, I mean, I don't see her in the women's championship picture again. You never know with Tony Khan and his booking.
Yeah, but it's very, like, she's very influential, though.
Yeah, she's got great charisma.
It's just that her side is against her.
Yeah,
if you look at the roster, you know?
She's got a lot of things. She's got great charisma. She's a cute baby face. Like, she's one of maybe the best baby faces in AEW. Like, she can really put on the charm. And that's what gets the crowd going with her. She's got a really good way of connecting with the crowd. If she can sort of show herself as a contender again, you never know.
Has she faced Dr. Bitbreaker before?
I don't think so. not one-on-one.
Also, she has in a tag team match.
Maybe in tags. I don't remember. But maybe in a tag match, but not one-on-one, and definitely not for the title, I believe. And so...
Because if she faces Dr. Britt Baker, then that's going to be a great match, because she's a great babyface, and Dr. Britt Baker is a great heel, so...
Yeah, you know what the thing is for me? Britt Baker is not... She's a heel, she plays a heel, but she is so lovable. Everybody loves her. That's the thing about her. You can't boo her. Like, I find myself...
Yeah, she has a catchphrase that you can't ignore.
She has a character and a catchphrase. She's like Austin. She's the Austin of women's wrestling at this point. Like, she has that charisma and that energy where it's like you know you're supposed to hate her, but you can't.
Yeah, it's very hard to hate her.
You can quote me on that, by the way, when I said she's Austin. She, like, if she's the Austin of women's wrestling at this point.
I'll hold you to that.
Yeah. And so I think she's incredible.
Yeah, she's one of my favorites at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's anyone that can deny how talented and hardworking she is.
Yep.
Let's move on to Anna Jay of the Dark Order. What do you think of Anna Jay?
How do you feel? I want to know how you feel.
I think she's okay. The thing is, when you think about her, you think about she's the future, right? Because how old is she? 23, 24? Right? So it won't hurt her to not be in the title picture now. Like, it doesn't hurt her for her to not be in the main event. Right, she's got years and years ahead of her, so she can build and build and build and basically sort of find her own craft and enter her prime. Then you can say, yeah, she deserves a shot at the women's championship.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, at the moment, I wouldn't say she's capable of winning it. You can see the potential there.
Yes.
But it just needs more time to manifest itself, you know?
Yeah, more time.
Like build up, you know, like steady develop your skills in the ring. And then, like, no doubt she'll be there in the title picture.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's it with her.
Okay.
I think that's the thing with her, where it's like, she's good. She's okay, but you can tell she needs more experience. Much like Ty Conti, she needs more experience. A few more years in the business won't hurt before she reaches the main event level. Let's talk about a woman who should be in the main event. One that I'm pissed has not gotten a one-on-one shot at the championship. Serena Deeb.
Let me tell you
about Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb, remember Serena Deeb in CM Punk's group? Remember her?
Yeah. The one when she shaved her head.
Yeah, that's Serena Deeb.
Yeah.
So think about how many years she has in the business.
She has lows, but has she fought in the ring that much though?
Yeah, she has. She lost to Hikaru Shida in the, I think it was the first round of the TBS championship tournament. But when she came into AEW, she had beaten Thunder Rosa for the NWA Women's World Championship. She came into AEW with that title.
Okay, I hear you, but when you look at it, does she scream like champion to you? Does she look like she does. She can carry the company?
She does. She does. And the thing with her is maybe it's age, but on the opposite end of the spectrum to Anna Jay. Right? I think she's 36. And so her time sort of at the top of women's wrestling might not be that much, right? She might not have that much time left. And so I think she's the perfect woman to beat Dr. Britt Baker for that championship. Maybe in a few months, maybe even next year, but Serena Deeb has to become AEW Women's World Champion at some point throughout the next year.
The next year.
Yeah. Or maybe even next year.
Like, a year from now, we have to be talking. We have to be seeing that championship around her waist. She is so talented. She has some of the best matches in women's wrestling. Go and watch her match with Hikaru Shida. It's awesome. Go and watch her match with Riho at Double or Nothing. It's awesome as well. She's really good.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm just like, with her age being on the later side of the 30s, I don't think the company is going to go do that, you know, like stick the belt on her. I'm not saying she's not talented, but I think they're not thinking in terms of talent because they know what she can do in the ring. They're thinking, is she worthy of holding that belt and representing the company?
Yeah, I got you.
She could be looked at like as a pillar, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And the thing is, I would do it like this. Put the belt on her and let every single young girl in the AEW women's locker room challenge for it and basically have her, give her that credit that she deserves. Give her that run at the top of the business that she deserves. Because if she can have matches with every girl in the women's division and really help the women's division grow as the centerpiece, right? Yeah, you may say Dr. Britt Baker's doing that now, but if she can hold that title and step in the ring with everyone, she will massively improve everyone. Like, I see women just bumping up levels just by getting in the ring with her.
I hear you, and I agree with you when you state it like that.
Yeah, she's awesome, man.
Wait, do you maybe think that's why she didn't progress as far as she did in the TBS Championship tournament?
I don't know. I think maybe. Maybe they're setting her up for a big title win. But again, right, with every single one of these women, you have to ask yourself, like, Dr. Britt Baker is on such a roll. She is on the roll of her career, if I can say that. Do you really want to end it, though?
And for me, the answer is, at the moment, is no.
Yeah, that's a big problem. I think we might get to a point where her championship run is stale, or maybe it's getting a bit boring, and it's like, okay, we need something fresh, we need something new. That's where you bring Serena Deeb in.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. So I really like, I don't know, when I think about her and that AEW Women's Championship, I just smile. Because I know she's good in the ring. She's going to carry anyone to a 4-star match. She's great.
That's the thing. If she faces Dr. Britt Baker, you know that match is going to be levels, bro.
Yeah, it is. They're both great.
Like, she might not win the title, but she's going to have great matches for the title.
I think she needs to win it, though. But we'll agree to disagree, okay? Or let's just say not now. Not now. Not in the next year.
Yeah, I can say that. We can say that, yeah.
We'll talk late 2022, early 2023. Seeing if she's...
What the company is doing,
yeah, so, yeah, if she's still around, right? If she's still around, definitely put the belt on her then.
No arguments here.
Yeah. Let's look at Thunder Rosa. I think we mentioned her a little bit earlier, the match she had with Britt Baker. What do you think of Thunder Rosa and sort of her? I like her. Like, again, like, if I had a pecking order in AEW, it would be Serena Deeb, Thunder Rosa, and then the AEW Women's World Champion. Like, I'm serious.
What?
I'm serious.
What?
I'm absolutely serious, what? Bro.
Why?
For me...
How is Dr. Britt Baker third on that list?
In-ring work. I feel like, especially when I watch her title defenses, she's a little bit rusty as a champion. And I feel like those two that I mentioned are just a little bit above her in terms of, like, in-ring work and match rate. And so I like Thunder Rosa. I think she's incredible. And by the way, that match that we mentioned earlier, she won that match against Dr. Britt Baker. She won that match.
How many years ago was that, though?
That was less than a year ago.
But Dr. Britt Baker now.
She's improved, but guess what? Everybody improves after a year. After a year competing.
But the title just takes you another level, you understand?
Yeah, I get it.
You do anything to keep the title.
I get it. But again, she's on a different level in the ring. Same with Serena Deeb, as I mentioned earlier. Both of these women, I think, are the top two candidates to sort of take the championship. There is a lady that we're going to get to shortly. And I think everyone's, like, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm pretty sure you've figured out who's going to be the next topic of conversation. But we're going to keep that for a little bit later. Let's talk about a woman who I haven't seen much of recently. I don't know if you've heard of Ryo Mizunami.
No, actually, I've only started hearing of her recently.
Yeah, she came in from Japan, I believe, and then she's really good in the ring as well. I'm watching a lot of the matches on Dark. She's featuring on Dark a lot. I feel like she's really good. And she's got that baby face. She's got a baby face charisma. But again, you have to think about age. I'm not quite sure how old she is, but I'm pretty sure it's maybe above 30. I feel like she's really one that maybe is a dark horse. Like, you're not expecting her. She might just jump out of nowhere and be a true contender in the division.
Again, for me, she's going to have a great title push, maybe, but she's just going to, like, fail at when it's time, when she's at the main event. So I just think she's going to fail.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the toughest things in professional wrestling, right? Not every mid-card workhorse can get to the main event. Not every Kofi King, not everyone, not every mid-card workhorse can become a star. You don't get many people who jump from mid-card to the main event. And that's a shame, right? You don't get many people like Kofi Kingston or Bret Hart or Shawn Michaels who start up in the tag division and then make their way up. It's sort of like, it's either you are destined for the main event or not. You know what I mean?
But you mentioned Shawn Michaels, but Shawn Michaels did eventually.
Yeah, but he's an exception. He's an exception. Like, if you look at the WWE and AEW, right? It's either you were born for the main event or not.
And for me, the reason why WWE superstars go from WWE to AEW is because they're right there, they're in the middle card, you know?
Yeah, everybody's...
When they come to AEW, they have a better chance of making the main event.
Exactly. Everybody's is sort of in the middle, and you really have to, like, show everybody who you are in order to get to that main event spot. You really have to pull your socks up and really have to stand out. Like, imagine trying to be different surrounded by 30 or 40 people in the locker room. You really have to show yourself to be someone that's not going to do what everyone else does. You really have to be unique in a way.
Yeah, just to go to WWE, look at Kofi Mania. That was huge. If it wasn't for the WWE Universe doing what they did,
exactly,
I don't think we would have had Kofi Mania.
Exactly. And so the fans, again, the fans have a saying. Have a say in everything that's in pro wrestling. Maybe not everything, but they are a massive driving force behind booking decisions. Like, the fans got Kofi Mania because the fans wanted Kofi Mania. That's literally the only reason.
They couldn't be ignored.
Yeah. Same thing with Daniel Bryan back in 2014. Like, Daniel Bryan was just another mid-carder, right?
Yeah.
And so...
until everybody pushed for him, they related to him.
Yeah.
It was the biggest underdog story. Probably in WWE history, you know?
Maybe. Maybe, just maybe. There have been a few, but yeah, that one's one of the best. Let's not go off track here. We're talking about AEW's women's division here. And... another woman. Let's talk about Jade Cargill, real quick.
Yo, I really like her.
Jay Cargo is awesome. She's one of the few female wrestlers that looks like a female wrestler. Like, if you saw her walking down the street, and I know I use this example a lot. Like, if you saw her walking down the street and she told you, I'm a pro wrestler, you'd go, yeah, I believe you. She just has that physique.
Yeah, that is true.
She's tall. She's strong. She has the attitude to back it up. She's maybe the best heel in the women's division. Maybe, just maybe.
Just maybe.
Yeah.
It's possible that she is. Like, she's one that I can possibly see, like, in the future, beating Dr. Bedrake, you know. But I'm not sure they're going to put a heel versus a heel. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's something you always have to watch out with those things, is that it doesn't make sense to go heel versus heel. Unless you have an environment where one of these people becomes a face. And if that were to happen, if Dr. Britt Baker were to defend that title against Jade Cargill, I'm pretty sure Britt Baker would be a face in a way. She would turn face if that scenario were to happen.
It does happen during the match where people do start rooting for you as the match goes, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you come out better for it, next thing you know, you're babyface, bro.
Exactly.
You didn't want that to happen, but it's happening, you know? Then they're going to have to probably change direction with the way Dr. Perfect is going.
Yeah, like, the same thing. You remember what happened to Becky Lynch?
Yep.
Right, Becky Lynch was a babyface. And then WWE said, nah, we're going to make you a heel because we want to push Charlotte Flair. And then the fans were like, no, we're not booing Becky. We're booing Charlotte.
It was very hard to boo Becky. Like, you really, like, it was really impossible.
It still like, is.
Everything she did.
It still is.
Everything she did and still done right now, it's very hard to boo her because everyone likes her.
Yeah. Which makes this decision, which makes her current heel run just ridiculous. Like, why? Sasha is the better heel. We don't need another main event female heel. We've already got Sasha Banks for that. Well, I guess Sasha's on SmackDown. She's on Raw. But you know what I mean, right? Like, we don't need a top heel because I don't think anyone can do that job better than Sasha Banks.
No one can. From her day from NXT and coming up, no one can do what Sasha can as a heel.
Exactly. She's really talented. She just has that heel charisma. She knows how to get heat. Like, if you've watched those matches with Bayley and down in NXT, some of her main roster stuff, she's maybe the best women's heel in WWE since the Divas era. Yeah. So Jade Cargill, right? If she is going to be a challenger to Dr. Britt Baker, right? If AEW are going to put her in that position, right? If they're going to put her in the position where she's a threat, they're going to have to build her up as this massive monster heel. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
To the point where, by default, Dr. Britt Baker is the face. Like, if they're standing in the ring, by default, the fans would want Dr. Britt Baker to win. And how do you do this? You take advantage of her size. First of all, I think she's bigger than everyone. She's in better...
She might be the biggest there.
Yeah.
If not for Rose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, besides Nyla Rose, she might be the biggest one there. She might be the strongest one there. And so what you do, and the fact that she's undefeated, you make her the bully. She is the bully of the women's division. That's how you present Jade Cargill as a threat in this, in maybe her push. That's how you would do it. That's how I would do it if I was Tony Khan.
I'm looking at it like this, you know, because Jade is still in the TBC tournament, right?
Yeah,
I think they want her to maybe win it.
Okay.
And then after she's won it, they'll give her a run. And then she loses the title to someone. I don't know who. Then after she loses the title, she won another title. Then she'll go after Dr. Britt Baker, because by her winning the TBC championship, she'll have like credentials at least. You know, she would have held the title at least before going pursuing for Dr. Britt Baker.
Okay, here's my, I have two issues with that theory, right? The first one is, right, there are women that I think deserve that title more than she does, right? I think, like I mentioned earlier, Thunder Rosa, I mentioned Thunder Rosa earlier, I mentioned Serena Deeb, who for some reason is out of the tournament, but that would be my first complaint, is that other women deserve the title. There, I can think of a few. The other reason would be, if she was to lose, she had to win the TBS title, she would have to lose it. And so you don't want Jade Cargill, your big, strong monster heel, going into the championship main event scene off a loss. I know sometimes it works for some people, especially it works better if you're a babyface. If you're a babyface and let's say you lose the mid-card championship, so that you get put in the main event scene. For a babyface, it works because it allows you to tell the story of an underdog who fought to get back to the top, essentially. For a heel, it doesn't work. You get what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, it was just a theory.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, we're just throwing ideas around here. So I would say keep Jade Cargill undefeated for as long as you possibly can until you can say that, yeah, she's a main event draw. She's going to be a big, like, we all know she's going to be a big star, but I don't, we all know also that she's not quite there yet. So keep her undefeated, keep her sort of invincible, if I can use that word. And then when she arrives, when you finally have that match, you have this unstoppable monster, giant heel. And then you have the babyface, by default, the champion, fighting to stay at the top.
I hear you.
Yeah. I mean, that would be my idea. I don't know what you think about that, but that's where I would go.
No, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. We will discuss the TBC championship when we're done talking about who we think could potentially dethrone Dr. Britt Baker.
Have you got any options?
For
the dethroning of the doctor.
What? Who do you have on the list?
I've got... So right now, I've got... Next is Jamie Hayter, Chris Statlander. Yeah, those are the two that I've got left.
I'd probably potentially... Yeah, no, I know it would be another rematch, but what do you think about Ruby Soho?
Oh yeah. I didn't think about Ruby. And Ruby would be great, because Ruby, like we saw in that first match, that Ruby can go. Like she made her debut, she won the Battle Royal, and she was on fire. Do you remember that promo that promo segment she had?
Yeah, I did.
Like,
I do remember it was a good promo.
Very good promo. And that made me, like, I was bought in on the match. I wanted to see that match. And so she's someone that definitely could be a massive threat. And I feel so bad for not thinking about her sooner.
No, there's just a lot of women you have to consider, you know.
Yeah.
Not that you didn't forget.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we haven't even thought of the bunny. Like, what about her? You know, there's just so many women. The bunny is she's very good in the ring. She's very capable, right? She's got the Hardy family office with her. You never know what those guys might come up with.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that there's so many women to choose from, but I've got three options here. I've only got three women who can challenge Britt Baker, at least for now. So we have,
yeah,
or within the next year, we've got Thunder Rosa, Serena Deeb, and Jade Cargill. Those are the three women I'm thinking of. Yeah.
bad three at all.
Not at all. I don't think so.
Okay, for me, right?
Yeah.
My three would have to be, yeah, some of them would be rematches, but to me, it just makes sense, you know?
Cool.
I'd say Ruby Soho.
Okay.
Jake. And the... Who did she face again? Now passing Full Gear.
Before Full Gear, she faced Chris Statlander at All Out.
No. During Full Gear.
Ty Conti. Ty Conti. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to rerun it again. Maybe not now, but somehow those three. Like, Jay would be a first, and the other two would be a rematch.
Yeah, why not? I think you have... maybe Ty Conti...
There's also chemistry, you know, they know each other in the ring as well.
Yeah, definitely. That doesn't hurt. That never hurts in professional wrestling. You also have to think of the rankings, right? So what AEW does very well is that they have these rankings where it's like wins and losses matter. And that's what I love about AEW is that it adds a sense of logic to everything, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. If you've won a certain amount, then you probably deserve a title shot. Then if you lost, looking at your record, then you have to start racking up wins.
Exactly. It's only fair. Exactly. It's fair and it's logical. Let's talk about the TBS Championship Tournament. I'm going to read you the quarterfinal matches. These are the quarterfinal matches for the current tournament. We have Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
And then we've got Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet.
Okay.
Again, didn't think about Red Velvet. Like, I didn't think about her. I don't know why. I didn't think about Jamie Hayter. So many women to pick from. And then we have Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida.
Oh. They were tag team partners at Full Gear, weren't they?
No, Shida and Rosa. Shida and Thunder Rosa were tag team partners versus they teamed up against Nyla Rose and I'm not sure who was Nyla Rose's partner at Full Gear.
All I know is that her partner is in the TBC tournament.
Yeah, I think she's in there as well. And then the last match, Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho. Those are the four matches in the quarterfinal bracket.
Okay, who would they win? If they won, who would they go through to face? Who are their possible opponents?
So basically, the winner between Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa will take on the winner between Jade Cargill and Red Velvet. So let's just pick winners here. I think the best thing to do is just pick winners.
Okay, yeah.
So sounds fair. So Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa. Who do you pick?
Thunder Rosa.
Okay, that one's an obvious one. Okay, Jade Cargill versus Red Velvet.
Let's go users. Who do you think?
I'll go Jade Cargill. That one's an obvious one, I think.
I think it's going to be close, but at the end, Jade should win.
Yeah. Like, if Jade is going to lose in the tournament, let her lose in the semifinals.
Not in the final.
Not in the final. Maybe even in the final. I'm just saying not in the quarterfinal. Yeah. Yeah, so we've got Jade Cargill. The first semifinal will be Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill, which is going to be an awesome match, just telling from the names. Yeah. And then semifinal three, we have Nyla Rose versus Hikaru Shida. And... Yeah, wrestling logic says Nyla Rose because the fourth quarterfinal is Chris Statlander versus Ruby Soho, who are both baby faces. And so if you're gonna go with Hikaru Shida, then you have a semifinal with two baby faces. So Nyla Rose would probably be the better option there.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so who goes through to face Nyla Rose? Is it Chris Statlander or Ruby Soho? This is a tight one, by the way.
I want to say Ruby.
Yeah, I think we'll go with Ruby Soho.
Because she could possibly have like the potential matchup she would have in the tournament, you know, as a baby face.
Yeah.
Plus, it won't
Definitely.
be like, as you mentioned before, it won't be like baby face versus baby face. Because if it's going to be that way, right,
Yeah.
then the only way it would make sense is if in the final it's going to be a heel versus a baby face, you know.
Exactly.
That's the only way that's making sense.
Yeah. Let's pick the finalists. So the first semifinal match is Thunder Rosa versus Jade Cargill. Who are you
Jade
picking?
on the way.
Jade all the way. Okay, so our first finalist is Jade Cargill. Our second
But it's
finalist,
arguable.
maybe you go with Jade. I think maybe Jade will go with Jade. Okay, so I would okay, I'm changing my mind here because again, as I mentioned earlier, I don't want Jade Cargill to lose, right? And so the if Jade Cargill is gonna lose, that breaks the momentum, right? So I'm gonna go with Thunder Road. I'm gonna go with sort of I'm gonna go with Jade Cargill here.
Yeah, you
Because
want it
if
to be undefeated.
I want her to enter the main event undefeated. I think that's a really good storyline sort of aspect.
If she does enter, if it does go down like that, but then she's going to have to win
The
the
title,
AEW Championship. And yeah,
the TBS title.
that means she would have, yeah, including that. I'm saying, because if she wins the TBS, right, and
Yeah.
then she has to go all the, she has to run through everyone to get to face Dr. Britt Baker,
Yes.
and then she has to beat her, then she would have ran through everyone. She would
Exactly.
have had massive momentum behind her.
Exactly.
Then she would have two belts.
All right. So are we agreeing the so are we agreeing that the final of the TBS championship will be Jade Cargill versus either Nyla Rose or Ruby Soho? Who do you pick?
Babyface and say Ruby.
Okay. Babyface versus heel in the final. Ruby Soho versus Jade Cargill for the first ever TBS championship.
Because think about it like this, right? Ruby came, she won the Royal Rumble, she faced Dr. Britt Baker, she lost, and then she comes through, she wins the tournament to win the belt. Wouldn't that be a great story?
It would be a great story. And it'll also prove like that for her, it wasn't a bad decision to leave WWE. I think it validates her leaving the WWE. And it shows you that these women who leave the WWE or these guys who leave the WWE who get released can find success somewhere else. I think that will that's I think that's a great story.
We don't want Jay to lose.
Yeah. Who so you're saying Jade wins the tournament, right? Because you neither one of us wants Jade to lose. So Jade, but
I personally wouldn't mind if she lost. I wouldn't mind.
oh, you know what? We didn't think
But
about this. We didn't think about this. She could lose by count out.
nah, but is that a way really
Like
to win the championship like that? Would it be credible?
I mean, do you want like if Jade loses by count out, it won't be as bad as if she gets pinned. Or we can do the story, we can do the monster type story where she loses in the final and that drives her to the point where she gets so crazy that she spends the next month few months just running through everybody until she gets to the AEW Women's Championship. We can do that story. I think that'll be fun to watch.
Oh yeah, or she in the final, she doesn't have to face Ruby, right? Who's Vicky Guerrero with again?
Nyla Rose. She can face Nyla Rose. Do you think she faces Nyla Rose?
Yeah, she can't do that, and then she loses in an underhanded way, you know, because it's Vicky. Like, Vicky's gonna have to play some part. I'd accept her losing like that.
Yeah, maybe. But then you have heel versus heel, which is not really the best. And with heel versus heel, generally the fans are gonna pick one babyface. They're gonna side with one of these ladies.
That is the thing as well. You
that
see?
They're gonna side so with them.
I think it's best if it's Ruby then.
Yeah. So, we have to pick. Do we go with Ruby or Jade Cargill? I'm gonna go with. Let's go with Ruby. I think it will be a nice babyface win, and it sets up Jade Cargill to just go on beast mode. It won't be bad for her to have lost once.
Yeah, exactly. It won't be.
No.
Ruby's going to have momentum behind her if she wins the TBS title.
Yeah, Ruby will be the babyface of babyfaces. I think she deserves it.
I think she does too. As much as Jade has been longer than her, which could also be an arguable point, you know, like why should Ruby win when Jade has been longer, when others have been longer there than her?
Sometimes it's not about time, it's about how good you are. Remember, wrestling has to follow logic, right? Yes, you do wanna make sure that, you know, your originals get treated well and like booking wise, but you also have to think, who's better? Like, who will be better for this situation? And I think this is one of those cases. This is one of those cases where time spent in with time spent in AEW does not matter.
Yeah, plus it's just like it only started a few years ago.
Yeah, 2019. So, is there anything else that you think we need to address?
I just think our audience needs to tune into next week's episode because it's the big one in Survivor Series. It's personally one of my favorite ones. So, I think they're not going to want to miss another episode.
Yeah, definitely. Survivor Series, I'm not going to lie. Like, this year, it's been underwhelming. Like, maybe it's just because we've been talking so much AEW that we sort of forgot that Survivor Series is the next big pay-per-view in the wrestling calendar. But I think, you know, we might get a situation where WWE is under-promised and over-delivered. Hopefully.
We'll see, because matchups are looking a bit crazy.
Yeah.
But that will be discussed next week's episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely discuss that in next week's episode. As for this episode, that is going to be it. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure you stick around as that Survivor Series episode will be coming very soon before the pay-per-view. If you'd like to follow us on social media, you can do so on Instagram at Dropkicks Wrestling Podcast or on Twitter at Dropkicks_SA. As always, let us know what you think. Give us an Instagram DM. Talk to us. Let us know what you would like to see happen in terms of the AEW Women's division. And yeah, till next time, stay safe and God bless. Thank you.